Wisden was clearly nervous. His son was about to play in the biggest game of his life. He's had to work very hard for whatever he's got. I'm very proud of him. These were the ingredients of success at the highest level: passion, talent, and hard work. But there was another element. When did Wisden first get the sense that his son was something special? You know, he was always a bigger kid for his age. He was strong and he had a knack for scoring goals at an early age. And he was always kind of a standout for his age, a captain of his team. Big for his age? Of course he was. Scott Wisden was born on January 4th, within 3 days of the absolute perfect birthday for an elite hockey player. He was one of the lucky ones. And if by some whim, the eligibility date for Canadian hockey was later in the year, he might have been watching the Memorial Cup championship from the stands instead of playing on the ice. Chapter 2, The 10,000 Hour Rule. In Hamburg, we had to play for 8 hours. The University of Michigan opened its new computer center in 1971 in a brand new building on Beale Avenue in Ann Arbor, with beige brick exterior walls and a dark glass front. The university's enormous mainframe computers stood in the middle of a vast white room, looking, as one faculty member remembers, like one of the last scenes in the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey. Off to the side were dozens of key punch machines, what passed in those days for computer terminals. In 1971, this was state-of-the-art. The University of Michigan had one of the most advanced computer science programs in the world, and over the course of the computer center's life, thousands of students passed through that white room, the most famous of whom was a gawky teenager named Bill Joy. Joy came to the University of Michigan the year the computer center opened. He was 16. He was tall and very thin, with a mop of unruly hair. He had been voted most studious student by his graduating class at North Farmington High School outside of Detroit, which, as he puts it, meant that he was a no-date nerd. He had thought he might end up as a biologist or a mathematician, but late in his freshman year, he stumbled across the computing center, and he was hooked. From that point on, the computer center was his life. He programmed whenever he could. Joy got a job with a computer science professor so he could program over the summer. In 1975, Joy enrolled in graduate school at the University of California at Berkeley. There, he buried himself even deeper into the world of computer software. During the oral exams for his PhD, he made up a particularly complicated algorithm on the fly that, as one of his many admirers has written, so stunned his examiners that one of them later compared the experience to Jesus confounding his elders. Working in collaboration with a small group of programmers, Joy took on the task of rewriting Unix, which was a software system developed by AT&T for mainframe computers. Joy's version was very good. It was so good, in fact, that it became, and remains, the operating system on which literally millions of computers around the world run. "If you put your Mac in that funny mode where you can see the code," Joy says, "I see things that I remember typing in 25 years ago. And when you go online, do you know who wrote much of the software that allows you to access the internet? Bill Joy." After graduating from Berkeley, Joy co-founded the Silicon Valley firm Sun Microsystems, which was one of the most critical players in the computer revolution.